Okay. Well, for those of you watching on Facebook, good morning. Welcome to Community of Grace. Let me open us up in prayer, and we'll get into the Word here. So, Father, we thank you for our time today, Lord. We thank you for the wonderful time of worship that we had. Lord, I just thank you that as we go into this part of our time in talking about you and getting into your Word, Father, I just pray that your Spirit would just continue to move among us. I pray, Lord, that you would open our hearts and our eyes and our ears and to hear what you're saying to us as the words are being spoken. Lord, that we would surrender ourselves to you and all that you want to do with us in our time today. Lord, this isn't just a time of just hearing what someone says. This is another time of engaging. This is another form of worship. This is a time of us opening our hearts to you, opening ourselves up to what you want to do, and surrendering to that, of letting us hear your voice, of you speaking to us, showing us things that we need to see that we don't see, things that have escaped us that we need to be reminded of. Lord, that we would just be moved into following you in our lives and the things that you put in front of us to do to advance your kingdom and to grow us as your children, to heal us as your children, to be touched by you in a greater way. Lord Jesus, just come. And I pray that all hindrances, all blockages would be removed right now, so that we can have unhindered access to all that you want to do. We thank you for what you're going to do. And we give you glory and we give you praise. It's in your name that we pray. Amen. We looked at storms in the Bible last week. And we saw that God is not just with us in the storm, but that God is still God in the storm. That when things feel out of control in the storm, God is still God, and He is there in it with us. And we looked at some of the reasons for those storms last week that we've been in them, you know, not just in the past, but more recently. And we talked about how not all the storms are of the devil. Some are God, or used by God to do a good work in us and in those around us. Today, I want to take this idea of the storms that we face a little bit deeper. I want us to get a little bit more personal with them so that we can get all that we can get out of these experiences, to come out of a storm better than we went into it. You know, one of the problems with the storms is that nobody really looks forward to experiencing them. You know, nobody says, oh, goody, it's a storm. You know, nobody does that. And so when we talk about them and we talk about one coming, our first response is that we cringe and we think only bad things. But I want to talk about this more today so that when these storms come, that we will see them in a bit more differently when they do come. That we will look for God in the storm. That we will look to see what God is doing in and through the storm. And so that we will walk away from the experience having gained something that can help us and others, and not just go through something and have learned absolutely nothing. Now, we talked about this during the worship time, but for those of you on Facebook, you didn't hear this. And so there may be some of you that came in after that was shared, but so I want to go over this again because it's important what I'm going to talk about today. But I received this email from the preschool on Monday this past week. It says, Dear ELC family, dear Elmhurst Learning Center family, our Miss Eva is not here today because on Saturday she was hit by a speeding car. Miss Eva was struck by a hit-and-run driver. She told me she flew up in the air and landed on her back. She was taken by ambulance to the hospital. The doctor said it was a miracle because she should not be alive. Not only was she alive, but she didn't have any broken bones. Eva is a woman of great faith. She is very prayerful, and she loves God very much. She will be recuperating at home for a few days as she is very sore. I ask that you please keep her in your prayers, and may God continue to give us miracles. I believe that He, the Lord, has a miracle waiting for you to just trust Him. And then she includes this verse. She says, here's a verse that is straight from the Bible that reminds us that we are protected by God's angels. This is Psalm 91, verse 11. For He will give His angels charge concerning you to guard you in all your ways. This translates literally to mean that God will instruct His angels to watch over individuals. Now, this was from an email sent out by our preschool director, our preschool pastor, Marilyn Escoto. And in talking with Marilyn about this, she said that when Eva hit the ground from being struck by the car, she heard a crack. And yet there was no broken bones. She has aches and pains, but no injuries. But also, when she was hit by the car, there was a man in white standing next to her. And while she's lying there after the ambulance came, the man in the white shirt was there talking with her, and she's more concerned about him. And because she's thinking that he too may have been injured because he was there when she got hit. And she's concerned about him, and she's encouraging him to make sure that the paramedics look at him. And he told her, he says, "Oh, I'm fine. And you are going to be just fine." We said it during the worship time, and I'll say it again. I believe that that man in the white was an angel. The storms that we've talked about last week are not just storms in nature, but storms of life that we all face at one time or another. Storms that God leads us into. Storms that He is in them with us. Storms that He directs at us. Storms can be a kingdom confrontation between light and dark, but also with us in the super in the spiritual. Our storms could be God if our flesh is not right. Our storms could be the devil if we're aligned with Jesus. But either way, God still has authority in and with us in the storm. Our storms can be God, even if we're aligned with Him, to teach us, to strengthen us, to reveal things to us about us and others and things and people. Storms will whip everything up within us and around us. Eva's storm was being struck by the car. And this was allowed to come at her. But God was with her in it. And what happened with her in the storm encourages us. Phyllis talked about her storm. Now, she talked about it, but I don't know if you really grasp this. She was in her car. Her car was hit, and she was knocked down a ditch. That car was rolling over and over again. And she came out with no injuries. Not only that, but she gets out. God was speaking to her and guiding her how she could be found. God was with her in the storm. We're going to go through storms, but God is with us in them. In the storm from last week that I talked about, you know, Jesus calmed that storm with a word. And the storms demonstrate the power of God. What Eva experienced and what Phyllis talked about, these things, the enemy can throw things at us. I mean, here the devil throws a car at Phyllis, throws a car at Eva. And they're not killed. No broken bones. But they were allowed to experience this. And this now becomes a witness for us to use of the saving power of God. Now, I'll tell you, the school has been going through some interesting things of late. there has been this cold war that's been going on between the school and the church for decades. I mean, I saw it in the 80s when I first came here, and it was already going on then. But I'm happy to say that when we came to the end of April this year, we began to see a turnaround in the relationship. The leaders started to talk with one another in a different way, being vulnerable and being transparent with each other and responding in kind. And as that started to happen, then came our incident with the trespasser on the property. That was extremely disruptive. In addition to all that that transpired with that, it helped to open wider the doors between the church and the school as it caused people to be seen in a new light and perceptions changed. And so there was a dramatic change in the situation between the church and the school. It got even better. And both sides have been working together with each other. We've been looking for ways to do more together, to be involved together with one another. Everyone is on the same page in this. I've been wanting to see this happen for years. We've been talking about wanting to see this happen for years. And it's actually happening now. After all these years. I have not been this involved with the school as I am right now since I did maintenance for them 20 years ago. I'm meeting with them all the time now. It's great. Relationships are building between the church staff between the school staff and the church staff. And it's something that everyone's excited about, and we wanted to see it. And then weird things started to happen. Carts moving by themselves. People being seen for an incident, and then they're gone. Mysteriously, cups tipping over. Voices being heard, and yet there's nobody there. Now, as I've been having my meetings with teachers, I've talked with them about some of these things. And now in those meetings, some of them have had a limited understanding of spiritual warfare. Some had no idea of it at all. And therefore, they didn't know how to deal with it, and their initial reaction was fear, that which comes from a lack of knowledge and understanding about such things. But then there are some who knew about it, and they knew what to do about it, and they've been praying. Then there was tensions building between a few staff within the school. But there is now movement there to bring this all into order. If we go back, when the pandemic hit a few years ago, the school at first was doing financially strong, and then within a very short time of the pandemic hitting, they were on the verge of shutting down. They were fighting for survival, and they came very close to being closed permanently. But I'm happy to say that today, over 2 years later, the school is still here and it's in full swing with 12 staff and over 70 families represented in the school's enrollment. Now, why am I saying all this? They've had challenges, even supernatural experiences, but they are still here. What happened to Eva? What happened to Phyllis? Is a message to us that God wants that school to continue. But there is a battle going on, and it's a battle between the light and the dark. One side wants to stop them, and the other side wants them to continue. What these storms did in the things that I mentioned is it encourages us. It encourages them. That God is with them and wants that ministry to go on. And it is the storms that show that. Now, keep them in prayer. And God wants community of grace to continue as well. The church has been an interesting mix in the years that I've been here. Some type of problem or conflict seems to be a regular occurrence with us. And in the 90s, it was a place of conflict. But also it was a place of the supernatural erupting in our place and in our ministries. We've seen conflicts. We've had internal problems. We have had financial crises. We've seen growth and we've seen decline. And sadly, these things are not uncommon in churches. But we have had this amidst the Holy Spirit rocking our place and our ministry and our meetings, and we have had our dealings with the demonic as well. We have dealt with conflicting theologies, we have had changes in leadership, and we have survived COVID. And we are in the same attendance range right now as churches have reopened. We are in the same attendance range as many other churches that have survived. And although we're not as big and strong as we have been in the past, we are still here. We've had some people move on since we reopened. But, you know, in spite of all that, we seem to maintain the same numbers. And we have months and we've had times where things have looked a little lean financially. Or we get a bill for something and we wonder how we're going to pay it. And then a check mysteriously comes to meet that need right when we need it. And so we too keep going on. And these things tell me that both us and the school are supposed to be here. And it's the storms that help to show that. And I think that we, too, are in a time of battling between the light and the dark. You know, we've had a lot of visitors since we reopened, and yet only a few of them have stayed. I think that some visitors haven't stayed because I think they were divinely led to not stay. I think that some people that visited didn't stay because God protected us. I think that some people didn't stay because God says you have an assignment someplace else. I think that the enemy wants to stop us. But God has determined that we are to be here. And yet this little group of an average of around 30 continues to plug along. Almost all of the congregation in our house is involved in one ministry or another. You know, and it's a tremendous percentage to have so many people involved in a ministry. It's fantastic. And they're all in process. They're all in process. You know, people have new roles. Some are evolving and changing as they serve in those new ways. Things are being exposed in these ministries. Things are being revealed in these ministries. We're functioning with just a few ministries, too. I mean, as opposed to how we were before the pandemic. But God's presence is here. We have felt it. We felt it today. You know, we felt it powerfully today in our humble little worship time that we have. God powerfully shows up in here. And this is all right in line with the prophetic word that was spoken over our house back in 2020, before the pandemic even hit, that God was clearing away, exposing, and establishing. We've seen people healed. We regularly have prophetic words spoken and words of encouragement given. Now, our storms of late are issues within the ministries that we do and have operating, between people and personalities. Now, I'll tell you, storms abound at Community of Grace. But the storms provide a platform for us to give grace, because the real test of grace is under pressure. Grace is easy when everything's going fine. These things that I've mentioned, like I said, they whip everything up. They show us ourselves and all that is there, and it creates opportunities for us to address what is seen. And it creates another door of opportunity to minister to others when those things are seen. To forgive, to love, to reach out, and to reach out to others, and to talk and share and reconcile with one another. And from it, build a deeper relationship. Or we can react to what is seen and experienced with others, and we can give into our hurt and our anger and our bitterness and our unforgiveness. My grandfather did something one time that although it was legal, it was not ethical. And it created a storm in our family. And it hurt and enraged some of my family members so much that it resulted in relationships fractured and they were never repaired. Now, was the issue what my grandfather did and what was in him that caused him to do that? Or was the issue in some of my family members who were so quick to get angry to the point to where they wrote off other family members and never spoke to them again? I mean, pictures were removed, names were never mentioned again. You never saw certain people together ever again. People ostracized from family events. See, the thing about storms is that storms will reveal ourselves, and storms will reveal what is in us. And storms create the conditions for all that to come out. Now, my storms, you know, when we talk about near-death experiences, I've had a number of them. I should have died several times. And I'm still here. Hooray. Well, I'm glad somebody thinks so. But I can tell you that in my almost 40 years here, with 20 of that as a pastor, and now the senior pastor for around 10, it has not been easy. Both with my father having been a pastor, and the things that I've seen and know, I know it's never easy. Now, with having moved into the house on the property now, God has been doing all kinds of stuff with me, which raises the question of, if we're not supposed to be here, and if I'm not supposed to be here, why is God doing all of this stuff with us? See, the storms show that. And as a result, God is changing my outlook on things. God is changing my heart. God is humbling me. And as a result of my responses and approaches to certain things, it has caused those things to change. He's placing me in positions of greater trust and dependence on Him. And it's causing me to experience things and go through things that are providing doors to open in ministry with other people in ways that I never would have expected before. For example, when we had that trespasser, it resulted in me developing PTSD. Since then, I have had so many conversations with people that experienced that. And it's opened the doors to me talking with them and ministering to them that I never would have had before. You know, we talked about Jonah last week. In Jonah chapter 3, verse 10, it says this: when God saw their deeds, and this is talking about the people of Nineveh that God sent Jonah to go prophesy to, it said that they turned from their wicked ways, and then God relented concerning the calamity which he had declared he would bring upon them, and he did not do it. When we go down to chapter 4, beginning with verse 1, it says this: but it greatly displeased Jonah, and he became angry. He prayed to the Lord and said, Please, Lord, was this not what I said while I was still in my own country? Therefore, in order to forestall this, I fled to Tarshish, for I knew that you are a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger and abundant in loving kindness, and one who relents concerning calamity. Therefore, now, O Lord, please take my life from me, for death is better to me than life. God wanted Jonah to prophesy to a city that he hated. And he didn't want to do it because he was afraid that the people would repent upon hearing Jonah's word. And so he didn't want that. And so he ran from God. And God sent a storm upon the boat that he was on. And as a result, he's thrown overboard and he almost drowns. And then he's swallowed by a fish. And it is there that he surrenders to God and he agrees to go. And then he's spit up by the fish. He goes to Nineveh to do what he's been told to do. And the entire city repents and is spared. And Jonah is furious. In my ministry life, I've had days where I have said, Lord, just kill me. And he didn't. He keeps me going. And then I've had days when I've been so encouraged that I could just bust. It has been the most tremendous walk of faith and obedience and trust that I have ever had, and it is certainly not over yet. And so much of it came in the storms. You know, I've been trying to leave off and on from this place for almost 40 years that I the 40 years that I've been here. But, you know, there were things that I witnessed. There were things that I experienced. You know, and there were things where God was trying to take me that I didn't want to go. And I didn't want to experience these things, and I didn't want to see what I was seeing. You know, and so I just wanted to go somewhere else. I wanted to start over. I wanted to have a clean slate and get away from all this stuff that was going on with me and all this stuff that I saw. But God told me over and over again that I'm to stay here, that I can't leave. And even though I didn't like that, I stayed. I remember one time telling someone about our church at that time, and I was doing nothing but complaining. And this person looked at me and said, well, why do you go there? And I said, I don't know, but I can't leave. And they just looked at me like there was something wrong with me. There were storms in those years. There was storms of confusion, of not wanting to go where I could see it was going. Storms of what was going on around me that I didn't like. And storms that were training. And some trainings I didn't realize what I was really being trained for, and some storms that I did, and I said, I don't want to go there, and I couldn't stop them anyway. Things were happening that were not my plan. Things that I had never considered, and some things that I didn't want. And like Jonah, I wanted to run away from here. I wanted to go someplace where there were no more storms. You know, there is no such place. In the kingdom, there will be storms. And God's storms are no accident. They are deliberate, they are calculated, and they are planned. And they have a purpose behind them. Everything that God proposes is good. Now, your all being here is no accident either. I believe that God doesn't just call pastors to churches. I believe that God calls parishioners to churches too. So then they'll use the question of, why are you here? What's your purpose here? Because you're here for, if you're here, you're here for a reason. What does God have you here to do? What does God want to do in you and with you in your time here? And what storms will you face here? For some of you, what storms have you already faced here? Or elsewhere while you're here? Storms are an instrument in God's process that He works in us. And God is in the business of revealing and removing those things in us that don't look like Him. Anything that is rebellious against Him and His ways, whether it is in us or in our heart and our mind or our will and our emotions, He wants to get that thing out of there. We can make our plans. We can have our wants, our desires, our hopes, and then God brings a storm that interferes with that, and the result is we get angry. You know, we love God, but we don't want to mess in with the things that are near and dear to us. And so we close ourselves off from Him. We walk away from Him. sometimes and in some ways, when we should see what's going on with us and come to him. I mean, that's what Jonah did. And what Jonah didn't do, as we saw in our looking at him last week, he ran. He held on to what was in him, and he never saw what he was holding on to. And the storm that God threw at him were to get him to see what was in him and turn that thing over. And that was that hatred. See, we like what we like. We want what we want. And heaven help anyone if they get in our way with that. But the other thing about all this is that we are all in a tug of war. Okay, picture this. There's this rope, and that rope represents Community of Grace and Elmhurst Learning Center. And on one end of this rope is God, okay, the good side. And he's pulling on his side, and on the other side is the devil, the bad side. And he's pulling on his side. And we're the ones that are being pulled on from both sides. And what that does, it creates tension. Now, tension does several things. And by the way, when I say Elmhurst Learning Center and Community of Grace, I'm just not talking about the institutions. I'm talking about each individual that makes them up. Each individual is being tugged on from both sides. And this tension, it exposes our strengths and it exposes our weaknesses. The question is, are we going to look at those weaknesses when they pop up? And are we going to address them? Or are we going to turn a blind eye and are we going to walk away? If we choose to do that, we will either repeat that exercise until we learn and develop as God intends it, or we will break and we will run. But God will repeat the exercise because God is in the business of developing you and working on you, as we saw in the story with Jonah last week. When he ran, God sent a storm. God sent a fish to swallow him. He had Jonah do what Jonah didn't want to do, to expose his hatred. He brought him to a place of misery to expose that, while he used him to save a city. Tensions show us our strengths. They define our limits. But there are also those things that are strengthened as pressure and tension are applied. For example, your own muscles, for example. When you work out, if you go work out, and use those muscles, the body repairs or replaces damaged muscle fibers through a cellular process where it fuses muscle fibers together to form new muscle protein strands. These repaired strands increase in thickness and number to create muscle growth. That's what happens when you work out. When you strain and pick up something heavy, when you push yourself to go a little bit further, this is what happens inside of you. And God does this with us spiritually and emotionally and mentally if we go along with him in his process with us, so we can face greater challenges. You're growing in muscles so that you can face greater challenges, so that you can grow. And these challenges not only build us up, but they teach us and they show us things through the challenges and enables us to face more and greater challenges. Now, we have a term for that, and it's called increasing incapacity. So as we go through the storms and we go through the tensions, God uses that to grow us in capacity. If you run from the challenges, if you run from the storms, you run away from a growth opportunity to increase your capacity. But in this tug, God is pulling on us to grow us and develop us, and the enemy is pulling on us to break us and to ruin us and to destroy us. Now, the world is in a time to where its flaws are being shown right now, too. And this creates attention on us because we have to live in this world with this mess that we're in. And so it creates tension in our lives and in our situations. And we are faced with choices. And all these things around us, we're faced with choices. Are we going to see and learn and adjust and adapt and overcome and thrive? Or are we going to run? Are we going to hide? Are we just going to go along with things and exist within what's happening right now? And by the way, tensions are kicking up again, aren't they? Yeah. With the tension and the storm come choices. How will we weather that? How am I going to see this thing that I'm experiencing? Will I run to God or will I run away from God? Now, when I talk about running away from God, hiding from God, how do we do that? Well, we turn a blind eye to what's really going on. We just choose not to look at it. We run to other things to take our mind off what's going on. Or we just walk away from God, or we just close ourselves off from Him because we're afraid of what He's going to say. Because we know what He's going to say, and we don't want to face what He's going to show us, and we don't want to face what He's going to tell us. So we say, I don't want to see you, God. Talk to me later when you got something I want to hear. With Jesus and the disciples, you know, they had stormy weather too. We talked about them in the boat last week. You know, and Jesus used needs and crisis to grow the disciples into people to eventually carry out and carry on His work. And they would see it as a challenge, and they would see the things that He threw at them as a storm. I mean, there was lots of times when he had them do things that they were uncomfortable. I mean, think about that for a minute. Jesus put them in places of uncomfortability. I mean, we think of Him as the Prince of Peace. You know, the God that is going to make everything okay. But the God that throws challenges in our direction? Well, He's in the business of growing you, of strengthening you. In Mark chapter 3, verse 13, it says this. And He went up on the mountain and summoned those whom He Himself wanted. And they came to Him, and He appointed 12 so that they would be with Him and that He would send them to preach and to have authority and to cast out demons. Now, Him picking His disciples was not something He took lightly. I mean, these people were chosen. These people were selected. It's like us. They were supposed to be there. When we go to Luke chapter 6, verses 12 and 13, we have the same account written, but it's a little bit different. It says, and it was at this time that He, meaning Jesus, went off to the mountain to pray, and He spent the whole night in prayer to God. And when day came, He called the disciples to Him, and He chose 12 of them, whom He also named as apostles. Now, these people were following Him already. But here, they had graduated from just being a follower and just listening to Him in the crowd, which, by the way, is easy, to all of a sudden they're going to be involved now. They're going to be put to work now to preach, to cast out demons. Now, some would consider that scary. You know, if I were to say to someone, okay, you're going to come up and speak next week, you'd be, oh, I don't want to do that. That's scary. Or, you know what, we're going to go see this person and cast a demon out of them. And some people go, oh, I don't want to do that. These things create tension. You know, I go from just being an observer to now I'm going to have to trust God and do this stuff. I'm going to have to trust God like I didn't have to trust Him before. Welcome to the storm. Welcome to tension. Welcome to growth. You say that now, sitting there. No one else said amen because they're like, well, I don't want to say anything because he's going to... You know? Yeah. But like I said, someone sees this as a storm. So then He goes around and He starts to minister. And He's teaching. And they're seeing this. And they're watching all this. And they're taking all this in. And then we get to Mark 4, which is what we looked at last week, to where He has them get in this boat. And they go out onto the Sea of Galilee. And they run into this terrible storm that is life-threatening. And in that, they're able to witness Jesus' power and authority over the elements. with their lives on the line. Then they see Jesus' power and authority witnessed again with the demonized man that they encountered on the other side of the lake, who didn't just have one demon, he had 2,000. His name was Legion. And again, they saw Jesus' power and authority demonstrated there as he delivered that man. And they got to witness that one. And then there's more healings, there's more teachings after that. And then he sends them out. We go from observer to all of a sudden now we're put out there. Or they're put out there. You know, I mean, they have seen Jesus, they have witnessed his power and authority, and then he sends them out. Verse 7 of Mark 6. And he summoned the 12 and began to send them out in pairs and gave them authority over the unclean spirits. So he sends them out empowered. And he says, you know, don't take much with you, because I want you to trust and depend on God. This is a training exercise as well as being put to work. But with this, it creates tension. And guess what? We get down to verse 12 of Mark 6. They went out and they preached that men should repent, and they were casting out many demons and were anointing men with oil, many sick people, and healing them. Now they're feeling good. They've gone out, they've done their training exercise, they come back, they're feeling good. And then we come to the feeding of the 5,000. Mark chapter 6, verse 34. When Jesus went ashore, he saw a large crowd, and he felt compassion for them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. And when it was already quite late, his disciples came to him and said, "This place is desolate, and it's already quite late. Send them away so that they may go into the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat." But he answered them, "You give them something to eat." Ooh. This isn't just giving your neighbor a sandwich. This is feeding 5,000 people. This was another training exercise. They go from feeling good that they went and did the first one, and now they get hit with this one. They don't do as good on this one. And as soon as he says, "You go feed them," all of a sudden there's that tension. You got to feed 5,000 people. Now, out in a desolate place. Then after that, he sends them out on the lake again. But this time, he sends them out in the boat, and he's not in the boat. And guess what? Another storm comes up. And he's not in the boat. Verse 47 of Mark 6. And when it was evening, the boat was in the middle of the sea, and he was alone on the land. And seeing them straining at the oars, for the wind was against them, at about the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea, and he intended to pass them by. But when they saw him walking on the sea, they supposed that it was a ghost and cried out, for they saw him and were terrified. But immediately he spoke to them and said to them, "Take courage, it is I. Do not be afraid." Do you know that there are many, many, many times in Scripture where Jesus says and the angels say, "Don't be afraid." Many times where God says to his people, "Don't be afraid." Why? Because we get afraid. Then he got into the boat with them, and the wind stopped, and they were utterly astonished. Jesus didn't just calm the storm on this one. He came to them walking on the water in a storm. What? That's crazy. See, the storms create the platform for glorifying God, and that impacts us. Then there's more healings, there's more teachings, and then we get to do a do-over. Verses 1 through 4 of Mark 8. In those days there were again a large crowd, and they had nothing to eat. Jesus called the disciples and said to them, "I feel compassion for the people because they have remained with me now 3 days and have nothing to eat. If I send them away hungry to their homes, they will faint on the way, and some of them have come from a great distance." Does this sound familiar? This is a setup. This is okay. Let's see how you guys do with this now after everything you've gone through and everything you've experienced since the last failure. And his disciples answered him, "Where will anyone be able to find enough bread here in this desolate place to satisfy these people?" He sets them up. They still have that authority that he gave them when he sent them out. And they've seen what can be done in that authority. And he puts them in front of it. He puts it in front of them to walk it out. I mean, does this sound familiar? Now, what did they do when he sent them out? You know, they preached, they healed people, they delivered people, they saw miraculous things. And therefore, we would think that when they get into this position of doing this over, that they would do great. But their response is that the enormity of their situation caused them to forget what they had. Again. I mean, this crowd was not as big as the last one. This crowd was only 4,000. Of course, we go, only 4,000? But still, it was a smaller crowd, and they still let their circumstance dictate to them the power that they had. In other words, the message was, we can't handle this. But Jesus gave them authority to handle it. He puts it in front of them. He says, here, handle it. I've given you what you need to do this. That's a storm. That creates tension. I mean, do you see Jesus' pattern here? You know, he's putting them in situations. You know, he had prepared them for it. He had demonstrated things. He had taught things. He had empowered them. And then he puts them out into it. And again, it creates that tension. You know, it's just like when we talked about the muscles a minute ago. You know, it's tearing down the old thinking. It's tearing down that lack of faith. And it's rebuilding faith. So that we can embrace what is possible in Jesus and what they have and what they have in Him. And this is what storms do. This is what tension does. Storms make apostles out of fishermen. Storms cause us to be able to do things that we never would have imagined. You know, I never imagined in my wildest dreams that I would be pastoring a church, much less Community of Grace. Not only am I pastoring, but for 14 years, I was a consultant for churches, for our convention of churches. I never imagined that. I never thought I could do that. And every time I went out to a place, I stepped out with them because every church that I went to was a storm. Every church I went to was a source of tension. What am I going to do? And Jesus met me every single time. We could spend the afternoon and I could tell you stories. And it was just stepping out with Him. I was scared to death. But you know what? He met me every single time. And I learned and grew from those experiences. We need to realize that all that we have, whether it be our possessions, our relationships, our health, our abilities, our time, everything that we have is a gift from God. You know, and gifts are given. But, you know, sometimes because gifts are given, we can look at those things as they are mine in the sense of they are all mine, which means they're mine and nobody can touch them. And I'll do with them whatever I want and I don't have to share them with anybody. And this can cause us to take things for granted. To not always be as appreciative as we should with the things that we have, and therefore not treat those things any differently. In other words, we don't treat them with all the respect and all the care because they were just given to us. And so therefore we don't always see those things as we should sometimes. Because the things that we are given to us by God. And therefore, because they're given to us by God, God can alter them. God can mess with them. They can be removed. They can be taken away for some period of time. Others can be taken away permanently. And God does this to build something in us that cannot be taken away, which is His work in you and Him in you. And He uses the storms to do that. And our attitude and our outlooks can also set up the storms that God will use with us. He will use our relationships, our things, our health, our abilities, our time to create and build something in us that we cannot lose again, which is Him and Him in us. Now, Jonah didn't get it. In spite of his rebelling, his running, his hiding, his heart and his attitude, you know, God still pursued him. Because God is committed to His people. God is committed to you. Even if His people are not committed to Him, He is still committed to you. And God is just as committed to you wherever you are, with whatever you have. And He will do whatever to heal you and grow you and use you and make you better. And that is maturity. And that's the maturity process. We are told to mature. And how does God do that? Throws a storm in your direction. Creates tension in your life. Because you grow from that. You don't just read about it in a story. You experience it. And it impacts you and it changes you. And He does this through our things and the other people in our lives. So where is God throwing you into something to grow you and to use you? What is He tearing down in you to build back up in a better way? Do you see the godly opportunities in the storms? Look at the storms you've been through. Do you see the godly opportunities in them? The ones that you see looming in front of you right now, do you see God in them? But also in that, do you see God's validation and encouragement in the storm? Do you see Him standing in the midst of it, saying, "Fear not, I am with you"? Will you embrace what He's doing? No matter how it appears, or no matter how it strikes you, or will you run away? Let's pray. And as we enter into our time here, I just want us to just prayerfully just sit with Him and let everything that we've talked about just kind of settle in. God, Lord, I just pray that You would help us to see the things that we need to see. The storms we're in. The storms we've been in. The storms that are looming in front of us. Open our eyes to see where You are in those things. Give us the eyes to see what we're supposed to see in these things. The things about us that You want to reveal. The things that You want to confront. The things that You want to show us to encourage us. Where we did good, but also where we need to trust You in it and get all that we can get out of that experience. Help us to see everything we need to see in the situations that create tension for us. Where are You in that? Help us to see that. And God, I pray that You'd help us to really open ourselves up to see everything that we need to look at in us. That we would not close off areas because I don't want to go there and it's uncomfortable. Help us, Lord, to get to the place to where we'll open up everything in us to see. So that we can get everything out of the experience. I pray for us that we would be great learners. We would be great learners. That we would just get everything out of what you're doing with us. Everything. God, I thank you for the storms that you bring. For the tensions that you create to do this marvelous work in us. It's amazing that the God of the universe would take time to do this with little old us. It shows us we must be pretty important, that we must be pretty valuable to the God of the universe, that he would choose to take time to do this with us. That you would be so committed to us, even when we're not as committed to you, that you would still be committed to us. Lord, I thank you for your goodness. I thank you for your faithfulness. I thank you for your commitment to us. That you, God, are committed to us. We're used to hearing about being committed to God, but God, I thank you for your commitment to us. What kind of a God does that? That's right. You, Lord Jesus, do that. You, Lord God, do that. We just thank you and give you glory. We just pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.